Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Just to see what the Lord has for us tonight.
Amen.
Y'all just pray for me, and I appreciate all the prayers. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And take a little thought tonight on being a prisoner.
Amen.
You know, Paul said that we're members of the body of Christ and we're not our own.
Right.
We're bought with a price.
Exactly. Right.
We're a prisoner.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I didn't take that scripture, but you know, there in Philemon, Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I just want to look at a few things tonight. Let's all bow our heads before we read the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for another time to be in your house.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, you just help me get out of the way. Lord, just come speak to each heart and each life. Lord, just minister in a special way. Lord, we're just so thankful that you brought Brother Wade back and the Durrett family back. And Lord, just kept your hand upon them. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that tonight. And Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, you know each need, each heart, whatever the needs are. We know that you can come and meet them, and we know that you will. And I just pray for, Lord, there's so many that are sick and afflicted, Lord. Seems like every day we hear of somebody else requesting prayer for different things, Lord. But Lord, we know you're the same one, same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, if you've healed one, Lord, you'll do it again. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we've had witnesses in this hour, Lord, to see your healing power, Lord, to see what your word says, Lord, that you manifest it. And we're just so thankful for that, Lord. Father, we just pray that you just be in the service tonight. Lord, just bless the speaker and the hearer tonight. Lord, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with longsuffering, from bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling.
Right.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all.
Right.
Amen. So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15 here. It says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?
Right.
God forbid. What? Right. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Yep.
Flee fornication. Every sin that is that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. God bless you tonight. Be seated. Any of those... Y'all just pray for me. Many, many different things to look at here, but you know, I'm so glad that I can say that I'm not my own.
Glory.
You know, Paul writing about being a prisoner, and you know, Brother Brown talks about Paul being in that prison, in that dungeon. But you know, sometimes when we, if we to look and see those, you know, the prison that, that Paul was in when he was writing these things and talking about being the bonds that he was in, you know, you think about a dark dungeon, this dingy place, you know, you think of the kind of conditions that they had to live in. You don't know what kind of food they had, if they had food. You know, many times when, if you look in the Roman Empire and different things like that, going to prison was really a death sentence. Going to a dungeon was a place they held you till they killed you. I mean, there wasn't appeals and different things that we have today. That was a holding place till they killed you. And the other things they done was in other situations, they did have you where you were working and you were bound in this situation that you were there till you died and there was no recourse.
Right, right.
But you were there to do a job. Just like the children of Israel were bound in bondage in Egypt, you know, they wanted them to build the sculptures and the pyramids and different things, you know, but so there was a job that they had to do, but that was a death sentence to them because they were laboring in that until they died. And you know, the thing is if you died, well, they just rolled your carcass out of the way and put somebody else in there doing the same job that you were doing. And so, you know, when he talks about being a prisoner of Jesus Christ, you know, you think about the conditions that he was in. But Brother Bram said, you know, he didn't look at the condition that he lived in, but he thought about being a prisoner of Jesus Christ, being bound to him. And Brother Bram said that, you know, he was bound by the fetters of love to the Word, because Christ was the Word. Christ is the Word. But, you know, I think about being a prisoner and, you know, having nothing of your own, because you're not your own. You know, many times people talk about being in prison or going into jail, and you know, people have this, they develop this prison mentality. And you know, one of the first things that they want you to do when you go to prison is they want you to learn how to do everything their way. They want you to think their thoughts because everything has to be done their way. You know, I think it was Sing Sing many, many years ago, I believe was the prison that was back in the 1800s. And, you know, you've heard the term called lockstep. Well, you know, everybody was chained together and everybody had to learn how to walk in unison. Well, when you first went to prison, you learned how to walk. You walked the prison walk. Everybody learned how to walk lockstep because you were all chained together and you couldn't get nowhere if everybody wasn't in unison. And so that was the same thing. You had to learn how to walk. And that's the same thing. We have to learn how to progress because it's the same thing, you know, learning how to deal with the things that God wants us, how he wants us to live and everything. But it's the same being a prisoner, being fully surrendered to God. And you know, are we look at many things here in the scripture because you know, Brother Brown talks about in the message of a prisoner, he talks about Paul and, you know, Paul's life and the things that he had to, go through. And, you know, he was such a high man and, you know, had such a background and all these things to end up to where he was. And you know, you can see what, in the world's view of Paul's life, Paul was such a high man and, you know, he had everything at his fingertips. He had such great training and background pedigree and all of those things that was exactly what he needed. And you know, even Brother Brown says, you know, he could have been a priest, he could have been a high priest. You know, there was many things that was laid out for Paul because he was walking in that avenue. But you know, Paul turns around many years later and said, I count all that as dung. You know, I don't count any of this as anything because I want to be apprehended by Christ. I want to be under the control of God. And talking about what the grace of God was to him to see the life that he had lived, but to see the life that he had lived then. Because first, the life that he had lived was not very good in the realms of the eternal and in God's plan. But you know, he had his own way of thinking about things. But God had to bring him to the place where he could see what God wanted him to do. That was such a greater thing. And this is the first quote here from the Message, Influence. And Brother Branham's talking about Uzziah the king and Isaiah. And you know, he talks about the king being such a humble man. And you know, we know how the story is that he was such a humble man. He was such a great king. But you know, one day he got to the place where he felt like he could do his own thing, that he stepped into the role of a priest, which he wasn't supposed to do. But you know what? He got so comfortable in what he was doing as being a king. And you know, he got lifted up in himself. And Brother Branham says, you know, he said, we find out as long as the king felt that way, God blessed him. But when he got to a place that he wanted to not abide in his own calling, and he wanted to take the calling of something else, and he thought because that God had blessed him, that he was all right, he could do that. But how sadly we make them mistakes, how bad. You must absolutely be honest. You mustn't do nothing unless God has directed you to do it and proves it and vindicates it. And you must, that it's God that's done it. Usually man of God has to run him down and catch the real man of God. It ain't those guys that wants a lot of something to do a whole lot with. You're hard to tell what they would do with it if they received it, see? But God usually has to catch his man like Moses and Paul and like that to run him down to get glory out of his life and let him become a prisoner to the Holy Spirit. So many times, you know, Brother Branham said one time when he was talking about the people coming to the house and the different things and people needing prayer and people asking questions. And I believe it was the time the man came to the house and he was looking for the audio mission. And, you know, he was talking about the millennium was starting and, you know, it was down by the river and, you know, all those type things. And Brother Branham says, don't ever desire a ministry. Don't ever desire anything like this, because, you know, it takes a special kind of man to do that. And not everybody. And, you know, many people that tried to step in other people's roles and do different things and come to find out, you know, you're not equipped for that. God didn't call you to do that. And many times people want to do a greater thing than God calls you to do. But you know, the greatest gift that we can give God is to do exactly what he wants us to do, is for him to mold our lives and for him to get the glory out of the things. Because you know, many times there's people that, you know, they want to do something, but you know what? It's not either the time that God wants it done, or it's not the way that God wants it done, or you know, they want to bring glory to themselves. They want people to look at them. But you know what? God doesn't need any of that. God wants somebody that is so humble and so low that, you know, that they can just walk right past and nobody knows who they are or anything like that, but God can use them to bless his people. You know, there's many times we, you know, you read and you hear of the different testimonies and things of what Brother Branham, his life, and you know, the different people that were close to Brother Branham and talked about how humble he was and the things that he done, and you know, how he was able to do things. And you know, people say they never met anybody more humble than him. And you know, it brought something, you know, but it took time for God to mold his character. He had to go through many things that, you know, and many times people want the character, you know, the glory or the glory for that, but they don't want the character that has to come with that. And you know, many people, they don't ever want to have to go through the hardships and the battles and the trials to get there. They don't want to be molded into that, but they want the recognition for it. And you know, that kind of, Brother Bram said, you know, power without character is satanic. And many times people want the power, you know, they want those things, but they don't want to have to go through the hardships and the trials. But you know, the thing is if you plan on, you know, if, like I said, he had to run them down. He had to run these people down. You know, Paul had his own way of thinking. Paul had his own way of going. You know, Moses had his own way of going and all these different things. But you know, God had to bring them to the place that he wanted them to be. You know, and every one of them had to come to that same place. And you know, you and I, many times people look and wonder why things happen in their lives and things like that. But it's God molding us into what he wants us to be. You know, because, you know, many times there's times that things happen in people's lives and, you know, it's like the little cartoon drawing of the man. You know, he was digging, he's trying to reach the jewels or the gold or whatever, and you know, and he keeps digging. He don't see that he's getting anywhere, but you know, he stops right before he reaches it. You know, you're seeing that he's getting despondent, he's getting depressed, and he's getting down, and don't realize that he's just a little bit further, he'll reach the goal. And people are starting to get, weak and weary and depressed and despondent about things. But you know what? The goal is right in front of us. We're not that far away. You know, here is the goal in front of you. And many times people say, well, you know, I don't see what God's doing. Well, you know, the thing is you keep looking and you'll find him. You know why? Because many times people keep looking through their own eyes. They're not looking through the eyes of God. They don't see it in the scripture. They want to see what external, but they're not looking internal. Because, you know, you can't see if you don't look through the eyes of faith. If you don't look through the Word of God, you're not going to find it. Because, you know, we can all look in our lives and all find all the faults and failures. We can all find all the things that were wrong, you know, because, you know, everybody can look and see. But, you know, do you see what God sees? Do you see what God sees? Because, you know, there's sometimes in our lives that Satan always wants to bring up your past and all these different things, your faults and failures. And, you know, many times we see that in one another, you know, because Satan don't always bring up what you've done wrong. He'll always bring up what somebody else has done wrong. And you know what? Many times we have people that, you know, they find everybody else's faults and failures. Why? Because God, you know, because Satan wants you to see what everybody else has done wrong. He starts seeing, because you're looking at things that you don't need to see. But you know, because you know, somebody will say something and people will get upset about it and it'll just eat away at you. And you know, it was like, Brother Perry Green told the story one time. He was talking about Brother Branham. He was talking about these brothers that had done these certain things and had cheated people and had done different things. And Brother Branham was relating this stuff to Brother Green. And Brother Green, the more Brother Branham told him, the hotter he got. And, you know, he said, the next time I see those brothers, he said, I'm going to give them a double anointing of Texas. He was ready to fight them. And Brother Branham said later on they were on a trip and he said, if we had time, we'd go over and see those brothers. Yeah. And Brother Green was like, what? He said, after all you said to me and told me all about them, he said, it doesn't matter what they do. He said, it's how I treat them.
Right.
He said, I love them no matter what they do.
Right.
He said, you don't treat them any different. And you know, he's, Brother Green said that was one of the times that Brother Branham kind of rebuked him about his attitude about, but he said, you know what? He said, he was talking about pastoring Tucson Tabernacle and Brother Branham was telling him about, you know, all the, you know, some of the heartaches and problems that he would have. And he told Sister Green, you know, Brother Green's been called to do this, but you know, he said, God equipped him to do this. Called him out there and he said he's going to have a lot of problems. And you know, he said, I got a revelation one day. He said, it's not whether people love me or not. He said, it's whether I love them or not.
Right.
He said, why? Because you're always going to have disagreements. You're always going to have faults and failures. You're not ever always going to agree. But you know, the thing is you cannot stop loving people.
Right.
If you have the love of God, then you know what? It's shed abroad in our hearts that it covers everybody, whether they do you wrong or not. Because you know what? If you're a prisoner, then you know what? You don't have your own. You're not your own. Because you know what? You do away. God's doing away with all of that. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to do away with that. Because you know what? If you have the Holy Ghost, then you know what? The old man is supposed to be dead.
The old man is supposed to have died off. And you know what? We still try to resurrect him, but we still trying to lay to the old man. But the old man's supposed to be gone. And you know, if you're a prisoner, then you know what? It should be just Jesus Christ. That we need to be a prisoner. Brother Brown goes on here and speaking of Paul being a prisoner, and he said, I can't see here where Paul was regretting anything, saying he was sorry he was a prisoner. He was addressing himself. I believe that Paul, as he wrote this letter with that pen, that it was with the Holy Spirit causing him to write, that maybe even to this night that he might pull out of context, or that we might pull out, to show why Paul did this, because it's scripture and scriptural is eternal. But he said he was in jail, but that wasn't what he was speaking of, this servant of Christ, the minister with him. He was speaking that he was a prisoner to the word of Jesus Christ, because Christ is the word. And continuing on here, he says, and he had ambition. And to find out that's what that great ambition that he had been trained for, spent all of his life, maybe from the age 8 to 10, growing up, talking about having all the diplomas and everything. But you know, God met him on the road to Damascus. It says, and now all that he had trained for God had took it out of him. See, and what his objective was his father had spent his money for, and the ambitions of his father and mother was all had been taken away from him, because that God had something else. Therefore, he was a prisoner from his objective that he had in life, and he had become a prisoner to Jesus Christ, who was the Word. Yeah. You know, the thing is we become like a prisoner to be taken away from all that, but be a prisoner to Jesus Christ and all the things that he has.
Right.
You know, if we go through the scripture and we start looking at things, if we, all the things that we have, you know, Brother Branham said, if you go through the message and not through the scripture and you look, all the things that is not ours. You know, many times people talk about, you know, this is mine and this is mine. We won't look at all the blessings and things that are in there. But you know, if you ever sit down and start thinking about what don't belong to you, you know, the things that is not ours. You know, if you're a prisoner, you know, because like Brother Branham said, you know, he said, it's not my righteousness. Paul said it wasn't his righteousness, but it was the righteousness of God. He said, it's not my goodness, but it's his goodness. He said, it's not, Jesus said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He said, it's not my desire. He said, but it's his desire. What all the different things that we go through the scripture where he talks about all the things, you know, all the things that don't belong, you know, because I don't have a desire of my own. We're not supposed to have a desire of our own. We're not supposed to have a will of our own. You know, it's not our righteousness, our goodness, nothing that we have. We have nothing. Because all of it is as dirty rags. There's nothing good in it. We have to put all that aside and look to God, because, you know, we should be just like a prisoner. You know, you don't have anything. Even the things, you know, to get up in the morning and all the things that you look at, all the things that you think you've accomplished in life, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't have accomplished anything. It's grace of God that's brought all this to us. You know, if you go to, you know, just like if you go to a jail or to a prison, you know, they strip everything away from you. They take everything away from you. And you know what? And they issue you what you have. All, you know, you wear their clothes, you eat their food, you dress the way they do, and everything has to be done their way. And you know, the thing is many times in our lives, we want to go back to the way it was, or we want to try to do it our own way. And you know what? We fail in trying to do that. But God has given us a way. As Brother Brown talks about, you know, we try to come up with a better way of thinking. We think we have a way to accomplish something. You know what? And it's an utter failure. But you know why? Because we don't wait on God.
Right.
Just like when he talked about Moses. Moses was a great man and God called him to do a great work. But you know what? He done it in the wrong time. Why? Because he had been told, the word told him, his mother told him, it always been told that he was going to deliver the people of God because he was a part of them. And you know what? He never waited on God because he thought, because of his schooling and his education and his training, that he was the man for the job, but he thought he could do it on his own. And he said it took 40 years to put all that Egypt had in him, and it took 40 years to get all of Egypt out of him. And when 40 years had passed and all of that had been beat out of him and had cleared out of him, and he sat on the backside of the desert, you know what? He thought he was an utter failure and he couldn't do nothing. He was worthless and he would never accomplish anything. Then God said, well, now he's in the right place that I can use him. And then when God come down there, now after hearing all of his life that he sat on his mama's knee, that he was been told he was the deliverer. But you know what? In the middle of the midst of all of that, there came a time that he stood in front of a pillar of fire and he saw that it was not being consumed. There was a pillar of fire standing before him and a voice speaking out of that, telling him what he was going to do, what he'd heard all of his entire life. And he stood there and he said, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. Why? I'm not equipped. But it was the same man that stood there and ended up with a dead Egyptian trying to do exactly what God wanted him to do. It was the same man. But you know what? He had got to the place that he realized he couldn't do it on his own. And when he got to that place, then God could come on the scene and say, well, guess what? You're not going to do it because I'm going in you. I'm going with you to deliver the people. You're going to do it the way that I want you to do it. And all of the way through, anytime, you know, if Moses tried to do something his own way, it was a failure. But you know, when he got to the place that he could listen to God and he come there and God told him, said, you'll deliver the people. And even put the words in his mouth to say.
Oh, yeah.
When he said, I can't speak. I can't do it. He said, well, that's all right. He said, I got somebody that'll do it for you. He said, I got a mouthpiece named Aaron and he, your brother's going to go with you. But he went down there to deliver the people. But you know, he went down there, but he had thus saith the Lord at that time. And when he had thus saith the Lord, then he could speak the word and it could come to pass, but he could do what God wanted him to do. Not before then. You know, many times people want to try to do something, but you know, if you don't do it the right way, it's utter failure. We come to the place, you know, if you get in the, be a prisoner of God and do the things the way God wants it done, it's glorious.
Yeah.
You know, many times people have many things that come their way and they wonder why things happen the way they do. And, you know, they get so beat up with the things in life. And, you know, you see people that, you know, they never look at their condition. And some people, you know, that's all they look at. You know, how you doing? Well, everything's so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't get away from them fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, everything out of their mouth is blue and sad.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I mean, you talk to people, and I hope this not bad, but I mean, you know, their life is like a country song. I mean, you know, everything's so bad and so terrible. And I mean, you just can't stand to be around them.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, it's like, you know, if you gave them $1 million, they'd be complaining about how much they had to give to the government.
Right.
And it's like, but you'd end up with more than you had to start with. But they don't see that. They don't see that anything is half full. There's nothing great. You know, well, you know, it's a beautiful day today. Yeah, but it's going to rain soon. We're looking for the rain. You can't stand to be around them. They drive you nuts. And you know, there's some people, you know, you talk to people and you look at their lives and you think, man, they are more, I'd like to have their kind of life. Boy, do you see these people and know that you're so around and all of a sudden you start talking to people and say, well, you know, they have this kind of problem and they got this going on and that going on. And you know what? Sometimes you think, boy, if I had their life, I wouldn't get out of bed. But you know what? They are the ones that jump up and you know what? They are happy. They don't let nothing get them down. You know, they keep going. And you know, you think about people. It's so amazing how people can write and do things. And they're just so amazing how people are drawn to them.
Right.
And you know, I was thinking of, there was a lady by the name of, Jenny Wilson. She was a lady that way, 1800, she wrote the song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. And I was listening to somebody relate the story. You know, she ended up having a spinal condition that she lost the use of her legs around the age of 3 or 4. And she lived to be in her late 50s, I guess, or whatever. But, you know, they were talking about how many thousands of songs that she had written. And, you know, she was so happy. And they said, you know, she never wrote about her condition in her songs. You know, you will never find a song of all the songs that she had written. She never was down and out about anything.
Glory.
You know, why? Because there was something that took place to her that, you know, because there was something that just rose up inside of her. And, you know, she wrote one time about, being in the wheelchair and, you know, God coming and bringing salvation to her and touching her heart. And she said there was no greater day than the day that they carried her in a wheelchair out to the water, that they could baptize her so she could identify herself with her Savior.
Amen.
To the whole wide world. And you know, when she come up out of that water, you know, there was something that stirred up inside of her. There was a wellspring that kept going forth. And you know, she just had to write because that was the only way she could express herself. But you know, she never was able to stop that flow that just kept coming out from her, that just had to write songs because she just wrote poems and everything. Why? Because there was something that was real to her that just that flowed out from her.
Amen.
And you know, if it was something, you know, because you and I are the same way. If the same God dwells inside of us, then He should be. There should be a wellspring coming, flowing forth. That, you know what? It should just wash all of the trash out of us. Amen. That we should not have a negative mouth. We should not speak the devil's language. Amen. We should be able to say the things that God said. Why? Because He's dwelling inside of us.
Amen.
If we're a prisoner, then you know what? We think we should have a prisoner mentality.
Yeah.
One other thing that prisoners have, you know, not only do they go and do all those things, but you know what? They get to the place where, you know, they don't do anything unless they have permission. You know, there used to be, you know, they would come up there and the first thing they would do was, you know, they wouldn't get out of bed. They'd be asking, are we supposed to do this? Whatever. They didn't do nothing until they got permission.
Yeah.
To stay. You know, they didn't go drink water. They didn't do nothing until they had permission. And you know, if we had the same mentality.
Right.
That, you know, if we sought God for the things in our lives, because if we were so in tune with God that we sought Him for the things that we had need of and the things that we ought to do, then you know what? Our lives would be so much greater. We'd be so blessed because you know what? We wouldn't have the problems that we have. We wouldn't fight so many problems. You know, sometimes things come our way and then we do things and we ask the Lord, why in the world we do that? And if you rewind in your mind, it's like, well, you know what? We never did pray about that. And now all of a sudden we wonder why we're in the mess.
Yeah.
We end up with a mess and then we're praying the Lord to deliver us. He's like, no, you got yourself in that. We'll let you stay there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, we have to struggle with things and deal with things, you know, but there comes a time when God allows us to be delivered of it.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's time for us to grow, that, you know, we have to understand those things, that what we've had to deal with, that we can overcome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like trying to raise children. You can tell them, oh, by the way, Adam, he always asks me what I'm going to preach on. He keeps asking me, Dad, what are you going to preach on? What are you going to preach on? I tell him I'm going to preach on him. I'm preaching on him.
Yeah.
That's what I tell him. I'm going to preach on you. So, why? Because you know what? You know, it's just like raising children. God raising us. God dealing with us. The same kind of things. But you know, you can tell them what needs to be done and what, you know, how things ought to be. And what's going to take place. But you know what? You can't live that life for them. You have to let them experience it. You know, many times, you know, I always think about Brother Dale telling Josh, I think it was Josh when he was little, that the wood stove was hot, you know, hot,
yeah.
Hot. But you know, there's lots of times, you know, you try to tell kids to leave things alone, don't do this. And you know, after a while, you got to let them find out for themselves, you know, because you know what? You can tell them, don't do that. Well, you know what? As soon as you tell them don't, they're heading for that. I remember the first time I ever, you know, people think it's a joke, but I actually stuck my finger in a light socket one time. You know, I was messing with a light socket and I didn't realize the power was on. I didn't know what it would do till I stuck my finger in there. People don't leave that stuff alone. You don't know what you're doing. No. It looks interesting, looks cool. I think I'll be all right. The problem was I completed the circuit. And I got a hold of something. I knew I had a hold of something. And fortunately, it did let me go. But you know, there's times you try to tell kids, don't do stuff. And you know, you try to point them in the right direction. But you know what? The thing is you got to let them go their own way. You know, they're not going to do what you tell them to do. And you know, many times you think of the prodigal son, you know, and all the things that he wanted to do. And, you know, his dad tried to persuade him and tried to point him in the right direction. But you know what? He finally let him go his own way because he wasn't going to learn. He wasn't going to follow. He just said, well, here you go. You want your money and, you know, you want to do your own thing. Well, here you go. And you know what? He had a great time for a while. You know, he had a great time and he enjoyed himself and you know, had he lots of friends and all those type of things until one day all of a sudden the money run out. Yeah. As soon as he run out of money, then he run out of friends. Right. And you try to tell kids, you know, you got fair weather friends in life that, you know, you can, they'll come around and they'll treat you good for a while. But you know what? When the hard times come or things happen your way, you know what? They can't be found.
Amen.
They can't be trusted. They can't be depended on. You know, many times you have people that come along and they want to be your friend. They want to be so close to you. They want to be your buddy. They want to be everything to you. But you know what? You get around them for a little bit and you come to find out there's a lot of things in their lives that's displeasing to the Lord. And you know, you'll find out those people that want to come around and hang around, you got to be real careful because they're trying to bring something to you. The devil's bringing them around to get something to you. You know, because, you know, the first time you have a problem in your life, especially as me, I can remember as a teenager, quit going to church and everything and going to a public school and getting around people. And you know what? There was lots of people that want to be your friend and want to be good to you, but you got to watch them because all of a sudden you start seeing spirits come up around you. And you know, it doesn't take a genius to see what's going on, but you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, these are friends and you know, we want to be part of the world. And you know, just like Brother Billy Paul was talking to, you know, Brother Branham was telling Brother Billy Paul about holding his arms out, you know, and the sign of the cross. And he told him, said, you know, you got to go one way or the other. He said, you can't go one way and go the other. Hey, you know, you got to make your choice. But he said, you know, I want to go this way. He said, I want to go taste the world. I want to go see what it's like out there. You know, people want to enjoy some of that because, you know, they think it's great and on the outside. But, you know, many times people think, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. But, you know, after a while you find out there ain't no grass over there. There's nothing over there to be had. But you go over there and, you know, then after a while you start looking, you know, and the next thing you know, if you start fellowshipping, you start hanging out with these people, you start having friends like that, if you're not careful, then you know what? You can end up with the same mentality that they have. You know, everybody, you know, then you start doing the same things that they do. You start living the same kind of life. You start thinking the same thoughts that they do. Why? Because you're known by the people that you associate with. And you know, here's this prodigal son, you know, he had it all great for a while until he ended up having to slop hogs. And he ended up with nothing. In a pig pen, in the mire, and all of the filth and everything that goes along with it. He was down there and then then he come to himself and realized, you know what? There's people in the world that got it better than I've got it. You know, I had everything at once and now I have nothing and I'm down here in a mud hole. and dealing with these pigs, and you know, I had it so great. But you know, he decided he was going to go home. He wanted to go see his father. He wanted to go back to where it was. And he said, Father, he said, I have sinned. And he said, I've done everything wrong and brought shame upon the family and everything. But he said, I want to come back. And he said, I don't have to be your son. He said, I just want to come back and be as one of the servants. He said, I just want to be down at the bottom. He said, but I just want to, because you know what? Here I can be clean, I can eat, and I can have a decent life. But you know what? I don't want to live like that is out there. And you know, there's times people think, you know, you're trying to shelter your kids and you're trying to protect them from something. But you know what? If you ever go out there and you see the things that's happened to people, then when you see those things and when you come back and you say, well, I was out in the world, but I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I didn't do this. But you know, let me tell you what, you get around those spirits and you may not smoke, you may not drink, you may not do a lot of things, but I tell you what, you know what? You still fight those spirits. Why? Because when you've opened yourself up to those spirits, then you know what? You still battle them things. You still carry them around with you. Because, you know, there's lots of people that have allowed themselves to, you know, because they're not trying to battle and fight these devils off. They're not trying to fight these spirits, but they allow them to just get comfortable with them. But the problem is getting comfortable with them. You know what? You're still carrying something that's unpleasing to God. And you know, you may have a Christian life on the outside, but you know what? It still has to be what's down on the inside of a man. It's still what's down on the inside of the soul, because you know what? You still have them things dealing in your spirit realm. And people still have those mentality. Well, I don't do this, but you know what? They still compromise with it. But you know, when the young man, when he came back to his father, you know, his father welcomed him back. You know, he came back, and you know, he was so humble that he didn't think that he desired, you know, that he deserved what his father gave him. But you know, he killed the fatted calf and all the different things, you know, the story of how he went through and made merry and gave him the robe and the ring and all those different things. And you know, he was so happy that his son had come home. You know what? He didn't lose his place. You know why? Because he was still a son. He was still in the father's heart. He still was a part of the father. And you know what? He came back to him, and you know what? He still was going to give him that. Why? Because he was a son. He never lost that. But you know, he come back and realized, you know, how great he had it and what the father had for him. And then you see that the older son had come, and you know, he wanted to know why they're having all the singing and the music and all these different things. And you know, he said, because we're joyous because your brother's come home. And he's standing there, he's like, oh, you know, you know, if you read the scripture, you know, he said, thy son has been out doing all these different things and running around with harlots and all these different things. You're thy son. He didn't even call him his brother. You know, he didn't even have anything to do with his brother. Because you know what? I've been here the whole time. I never done those things. I have been right here. And when have you killed a fatted calf for me? When have you done all this for me? Look what I've done. Just like the story then. You know, Jesus was asking them, you know, when the publican came in and the scribe or whoever it was, you know, when he came in and they were praying and, you know, the one said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, you know, and he smote his chest and, you know, he had such repentance. And the other one says, well, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. I'm not like him, you know. This guy over here is like, well, you know what? You ought to have been more like him, because, you know, if you had looked on the inside, you'd have seen that the man was praying to God to be justified. And, you know, God forgive him. But he's like, well, I'm too good, because, you know, I'm just looking on the outside. Look how good I am. Oh yeah. And many times, you know, if we get to the place where we think we're better than somebody else, we get lifted up, just like Uzziah got lifted up. And you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's sin in the camp. Just like Uzziah, you know, he got placed in, you know, they told him you shouldn't be doing that. And you know what? He got smote with leprosy. And he was a leper till he died. But you know, if we come to the place where we are more like Jesus, you know, if we come to that place, Lord, you know, bind me. Lord, if we surrender ourselves, because you know, if it's the goodness of God that draws us, if He draws us, then you know, then we come to Him and like, Lord, I want to be free. But I want to be bound to you. I want to be bound to the word. I want to be bound to thus saith the Lord. I want to be just as much as close to you as I can be. I want to be bound to what you want me to be bound to. I want to be just molded like you want me to be. Because if that's what we desire, then that's what God can do. But you know, we have to do away with all of our ambitions and all of these things. But you know, God is here to remove all of those things from our lives to make us what we want Him to be. But you know, the people that have a lot of problems is people that go, you know, you go to prison and you know, they're trying to put you in there and they're trying to tell you how everything's supposed to be. And you know, there's an order for, and there's a system for everything that has to go in there. And you know, many times people go in there and they don't want to do that. They don't want to do the things that has to be done. You know, they only do so much and then they're out causing problems. And you know, they're trying to sneak around and get by with this and this. And you know how they do it. And, you know, all about prison. You know how they, you know, they always have stuff going on and different things like that. Well, you know, when you get called, they got a place to put you. You know, they find out where, you know, what you've done and everything like that. Well, you don't listen. They just stick you in solitary. They got a little place where they put you in there and, you know, you got your little cot and your little blanket and they keep you in there and you're in there by yourself for a while. And you stay in there till you get ready and then they'll decide if they'll let you bring you out, if you're going to do what needs to be done. Are you going to follow the right kind of plan? And you know, it's just like Brother Brown was talking about one time the sister that had gotten sick and, you know, Brother Branham had told him that she was going to get well. And then later on, you know, she died. Brother Branham come to the Lord and said, well, you owe me an explanation. Why did you tell me that she was going to live and then she died? And then, you know, God just let him sit under that for a while. You know, he just sat there for a while. You know, God didn't deal with him. And, you know, he said to just... You know, just kind of left out on his own for a while. Why? Because, you know, he come in there, got his little attitude, brought it in there. Well, you know what? God kind of put him in his own little solitary little cell over there and said, well, you just sit under that for a while. But, you know, when he come back, then he realized, you know what? God, you don't owe me an explanation. You don't owe me nothing. And God told him, said, listen, said, a year ago, that lady should have died. She should have drowned in the river. And they pulled her out. And it was the goodness of God that saved her life and brought her back, and she was able to repent and get right with God before she passed. Right. You know, many times we want to know why God does things. Well, you know what? God doesn't owe us an explanation. Right. You know why? Because His judgments are right. His judgments are true. They're pure. They're correct. Right. And if God gives us something, then we ought to raise up and say, well, thank God. Why? Because you allowed me to go through that and you know what's good for me. And whether I see it or not, I know that it's good. Right. You know, there was a man talking to a lady one time and, you know, she was all upset about things. And you know, the man told her, said, well, you know, the Bible says that all things work together for the good. So I don't know what good comes out of it, but I know that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. So you know what? If that's what happens, then you know what? There's some kind of good in it. And if I don't see the good, well, I'm not looking the right way. But you know what? God will show me the right way, but show me that it's good. But you know, right now I know that it's good. Why? Because that's what the Word says is good. Whether I can see it or not, that doesn't have anything to do with it. But do we believe in holding into the Word and being a prisoner, be what God wants us to be? Can you be a prisoner? I want to be a prisoner. There's many things I get into tonight, but I'm kind of keep it short. But I just want to say I want to be a prisoner. I want to be molded the way He wants me to be molded. You know, there's so many things when you start thinking of songs. You know when you start thinking of a prisoner mentality, when you start singing songs, you know, there's so many songs that 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 I that come to mind. You know, I want to live the way He wants me to live. You know, there's a song, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master. I'll exceedingly toil through the heat and the cold. All the different songs that come to your mind when you think about that. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. I'm all His. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own. I'm His. When you start to think about those things and you start to see, you know what? Because if you want to see the great things of God in your life, you want to see, then you know what? All you've got to do is become a prisoner. You've just got to come to a place where you realize that it's not you, but it's Him.
Amen.
I want to be what He wants me to be. I want Him to take full control. Because you know what? If He takes control, then you know what? It'll go the way it needs to go. As the song says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Why? Because you know what? It doesn't matter what God brings our way. You know what? If we're a prisoner, then we know that God is leading us the right way. But are we completely sold out to God's plan? Are we completely sold out? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come and clean out everything in our lives that's unpleasing? Lord, just clean us up and just clear us out, Lord, and clear our minds and our thinking, Lord, that it just thinks the thoughts of God. Lord, that we can just, that we're just speaking, as Brother Bob was talking about, speaking the oracles of God, become an oracle of God. Why? Because being the voice, because if the word comes in, then the word goes out. You know, God didn't call us to just be vessels, just to be filled up. But you know what? We're to be vessels in use. Well, you know, you just don't put a vessel in use just to fill it up and set it on a shelf. But you know what? We are to be the ones to go out to the world that's lost and dying and let them see Jesus Christ to be poured out before the people, that they can be see who Jesus Christ is. It's not just that we're going to be a vessel to be set on a shelf where we can look pretty or anything. But you know what? It's to be a minister. For us to, you know, and it's not just standing behind a pulpit and ministering, but it's to go out and do what God has called us to do. You know, sometimes, you know, I think about, you know, Brother Dale talks about people, you know, we don't have a lot of what we call prayer warriors years ago. But, you know, there's so many times and you go back and you read people. And you see things that's happened to people. You know, when people actually, you know, I think it's something that's totally lost in the church, because people have just gotten away from that. And you know, if you ever get back to that place, and you know, I think, God, if we ever get back to the place where we could actually just pray and just seek Your face, you know, even the scripture says that He'll hear from heaven, but all the things that God done when people, all the different things, you know, that, you know, it's even when, like, talking about the Wept revival and different things that's happened. What was it? It was when people got right with God, when people got a burning desire within their heart. And you know what? They sought the face of God. Then you know what happened? God came down and He met them and He ministered to them. People say, oh, I want a revival. Well, you know what? The thing is, the revival starts in you. If we ever get to the place, we will let the world and all the things that happen. Yep. You know, we got to live here. But you know, the thing is many times if you ever desire to do something, well, then you know what? Then the devil's coming there and he's going to mess it up. However you go try to do something for God, He's there to mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, well, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, you know what? Just remember, whatever you do, the devil's there. He's going to fight you. But you got to fight. We got a fight. There's a fight on our hands. But you know what the thing is greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Do you have that desire tonight? I want to be so much like Him the world can't tell us apart. There's that old song. I want to be more like Him every day. Why? Because you know there's a time that, you know, it's not just looking for the last one, because you know what? We don't know when that last one comes in. But you know, the thing is the last one comes in. But you know what? Every single person in the body of Christ has got to be in their place. It's not just when the last one comes in, but it's when every person in the body is in their position. And I want to be one where I, you know, it's not somebody waiting on me. I want to be the one that's in my place. I want to be whatever it is. I want to be where is it? If it's a doormat in the house of God or whatever it is, that's where I want to be. I want to be what God has me. I want to be faithful to the calling that God's called me to. It's not about big eyes and little U's. It's being faithful. Why? Because, you know, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you know what? All your desire is to be used of God, to be a blessing, to do what God wants you to do. Because, you know, if it's whatever little thing that you do, you know, sometimes you, ministers know this, you preach sometime and you think, well, you know, I don't know if that actually meant anything to anybody, if it didn't go over, or, you know, you think, well, you know, I don't know who that was for. And you think, boy, well, sometimes it's a waste of time, but you go through and you think, well, I don't know if really anybody got that. But, you know, I had a person send me a text a few weeks back. They were listening to one of my old messages and they told me, and they sent me a text and said, I'm listening to your message this morning, said everything you said was right for me. It was exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, thank God.
Right.
I'm so glad that, you know, however simple it is, you know, whatever said, you never know, because, you know, this goes out over the airwaves and everything. And, you know, the scripture tells us the word of God won't return to him void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent to do.
Right.
Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. We'll let you stand. Try not to be too long, but I'm just happy to be what God wants me to be. I don't know what. Let's sing that song. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. I don't know what key that's in. We'll try something. I think it's in the spiral book. Anybody find it? I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. I'm all his. Bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own, I'm his. I'm not my own, I belong to Jesus. He purchased me, I'm all his, bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own, I'm his. I'm not my own, I belong to Jesus. He purchased me, I'm all his, bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own, I'm his. I'm not my own, I belong to Jesus.
suffering, he purchased me. I'm all his, bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own, I'm his.
Amen. What you got?
Greater is he that is in me than
he. Amen.
He flat.
Amen.
3:6, 3:4.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Satan's like a roaring lion running to
it. Indeed, any benefits from it come.
Speaking who
you need deliverance, you need healing, you need salvation. What do you need?
Many souls have been his friends, all in some way now. But God has promised us today.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind.
We can have that same experience. We can have the same experience. It was dark. Just come and receive
it.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Greater is he that is in me.
You believe that?
Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world.
Amen and amen and amen. Let's give our brother a good
amen.
If we just recognize what we're here for, what, let him take place. Do what he wants to with us. All is well. Amen. Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate it. And I'll just remember that. Remember now to the brothers, we'll be leaving here at 3:30. If you want to come and go with us, to all of the men, then we'll run up and eat a little bite.
It is cash only.
Cash only.
Credit card.
Uh-oh.
Debit card. Cash.
Cash only. So I'll have to take Nanny.